Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold, hard cash with their over-under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, perched up on the northeast corner of sunny England in Newcastle upon Tyne. The day is Wednesday, the 18th of May. And we are here to handicap the games for Thursday, the 19th of May. I got my dates mixed up. Bad start. So here to join me tonight and help handicap those games. First off, is our resident Pittsburgh/Detroit fan. I don't know where he is tonight. Noah Bennick. Noah, how are you doing, man?
Doing pretty good, Malcolm. And yeah, I'm home for quite a little while now. So I'm located in Michigan and Metro Detroit for now.
Excellent. And another man, he's on the road, literally on the road tonight. He's in his car. Mr. Dylan Rockford, you're not on the moon tonight, mate. Where's the space travel got to?
Oh, Malcolm, it's good to be with you boys. Noah, good to be with you. Yeah, I'm on the side of the road right now, handicapping games, trying to give out some winners out here. But it's good to get back on the winning side last night and can't wait to break down. We got a short slate, 7 games tomorrow.
Yeah, not much going on. I'm surprised it was quite a short slate. I settled down to handicap. It's normally an epic job with the 15 games. I think we had a 17-game slate on Tuesday. Yeah, and we're going quite early. It's about 8 p.m. here for me, so a little bit earlier for you boys. There's already some games underway tonight. Moonaf's lock from yesterday, the Braves. Moonaf's dog, sorry, plus money. The Braves are 4-2, so looking good there. Maybe to cash some early money as well. So, yeah, relatively short slate for us here today on the MLB Gambling Podcast. We will start with a 12:35 Eastern first pitch, which is the New York Yankees at the Baltimore Orioles. Jordan Montgomery goes for the Yankees, and Bruce Zimmerman goes for Baltimore. Two lefties on the mound. The lines are... Let me drag these lines up. 2 seconds, just get me tally site in the right place. The Yankees are -200. Baltimore are +170. The overall under is set at 8.5. Montgomery is 0-1 with a 3.06 ERA. He's pitched 35 and 1/3 innings, 29 strikeouts and a 108 whip. Zimmerman is 2-2, 272 ERA, 36 and a 1/3 innings pitched, 32 strikeouts and a 121 whip. Montgomery, he's had a series of no decisions recently. Has given up 2 earned runs in all 3 of his last 3 starts. he's just been fairly middling, really. Not good, not bad. Fairly indifferent stuff from Montgomery, which has been good enough, frankly, as a middle rotation piece in this for this Yankees club that are winning games. Zimmerman has also given up two earned runs in each of his last three starts, so similar lines. However, his four home starts, he's got a 1.8 ERA, which is more than competitive, and it's a decent enough sample size as well. In a game that hasn't been played yet, on yesterday's podcast, I took Baltimore as a dog. And I'm going to do the same again today. I just think the prices are too wide apart for a game in which the Baltimore pitcher can keep it competitive. Like I said yesterday, Baltimore are going to win a couple of these games at various points. So I'm going to put up Baltimore at plus 170, but also Baltimore on the run line. I think we've got an over-under of 8.5. So I think Baltimore can keep this relatively close. I think Zimmerman can keep this relatively close. So Baltimore on the run line at minus 110, as well as Baltimore money line at plus 170. Noah, New York at Baltimore. How did you handicap this one?
Yeah, so the way these games are kind of just ordered here, it is very loaded at the top with a ton of PVP, and then all the way down to the bottom of the games, not so much. So, like I said, first couple of games, I'll be very busy. But, for this one, I'm just seeing a lot of offense possibility here. Kyle Higashioka, he doesn't start every day, but he is the catcher for the Yankees, batting .667 against Zimmerman, 4-for-6 with 3 singles and a Higgy bomb. Aaron Judge batting .444, 4-for-9 with 2 singles and 2 balls that made all of the fans rise. DJ LeMahieu batting .444, 4-for-9 with 3 singles and a double. Robinson Chirinos, the catcher for the Orioles, batting .400, 2-for-5 with a single and a bomb. Trey Mancini, .385, 10-for-26 with 9 singles and a Mancini mash. Ramon Urias batting .333, 4-for-12 with 4 singles. Anthony Santander batting .300, 2 singles and a tank. Cedric Mullins, .286, 6-for-21 with 6 singles. And he's the only Oriole hitting over .300 in the last week. And in their last 6 games, Giancarlo Stanton is hitting .458 with 4 Stantonian blasts, 13 RBIs, and 25 total bases. Other hot bats in the Yankees lineup are Aaron Judge and Josh Donaldson, who are both batting .348 and have 3 bombs each. And Gleyber Torres is also hitting .333 with a tank as well. So I think I see a lot of offense in this game, so I'll be taking the over. And you know what? I'll go with the Orioles as well to win the game.
Yeah, there has been a lot of offense. Aaron Judge has been absolutely on fire. Santander hit a couple of homers for my TG FBI team the other night. I've got Cedric Mullins in my D-Gens Fantasy League team. Noah, do you want to talk about the D-Gens Fantasy League at the minute, or do you want to give that a miss? It's up to you. I don't mind.
Yeah, you got a very stat-padded lead early. Three of my guys got hurt.
Stat-padded lead? What are the kind of lead can I have?
Three of my guys got hurt in the Monday or Tuesday games that I had them playing in. So I got like 3 of my 4 IL spots used up in the last 2 days. It's like I've never used that many ever, I don't think. A knock on wood. But it's just been unlucky against Malcolm's team. And not to mention, each of your guys have a bomb. You have like 6 bombs in 2 days. Yeah. So
yeah, I wasn't sure I'd actually dreamt that, because I woke up and I remember reading the notifications. I'll sometimes wake up at like 4 in the morning and check my notifications. And it was like every single player on my team had hit a bomb. And yeah. I woke up and I thought, did I imagine that? Did that actually happen? Yeah, and it did actually happen. So yeah, just for reference, listeners, I've got a 9-1 lead in the 10 categories over Noah at this point. But I mean, it's a long week. You've got till Sunday to pull it back. I'm not going to take my victory lap now. In hindsight, I should probably not have brought it up, because all that's going to happen is I'm going to fall in a hole and you're going to run me down between now and Sunday. Nine to one. So
not to mention, you have my catcher's backup catcher. Salvador Perez went down with a sprained thumb.
Oh, Melendez.
You have MJ. I picked him. Well, yeah,
he hit his first home run as well. So there you go. Sorry, Dylan, we're just bickering away here, leaving you completely out of this. New York Yankees at the Baltimore Orioles.
No, you're all good. I do agree with, I think the Orioles are going to eventually catch one. I mean, the Yankees can't win everyone, but if you look at them, they're playing competitive baseball, 6-2, 5-4, 5-2. they're in games, but I like the value we're getting here with the Yankees on the run line. Jordan, he's off to a pretty good start, especially on the road. 2.21 ERA, 5 runs in just 20 innings. He's already faced this Orioles team twice. He's done well, 10 innings, only just gave up 2 runs. And Zimmerman, he's also faced the Yankees, and he's done fairly decent. But this Yankee club, they've won 5 straight against the Orioles, and if it wasn't for last night, I think they would have covered the run line again. So Yankees are just a hotter team. So at -110, I'm going to take the Yankees -1.5.
Yeah, I didn't mind the Baltimore home record as well as 9-9, which is another little pointer that gives you a chance. So, yeah, hopefully something that can turn up with a big price there. A 1:05 Eastern first pitch is the San Diego Padres at the Philadelphia Phillies. Yu Darvish goes for San Diego, and Kyle Gibson goes for Philly. And Noah, we'll throw this over to you. You can lead us off for the Padres at the Phillies. In fact, I'll give you the prices is what I'll do. San Diego are even money. Philadelphia -120. Over or under is 9. Noah, go for it.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go right into the PVB here. Luke Voit, he's batting 400, 2-for-5 with 2 singles. Eric Hosmer is batting 302, 13-for-43, 9 singles, 3 doubles, and a Hosmer homer. Reese Hoskins batting 300, 3-for-10 with a single, double, and a home run. Manny Machado batting 294 against Gibson, 7-for-24, and 5 singles, 2 doubles, and a 6-to-3 walk-to-strikeout ratio. JT Realmuto is batting 286, 4-for-14 with 2 singles, a double, and a triple. Over the last 5 games for the Phillies, Segura has 2 bombs and Haskins has 3 homers. And then add Alec Bohm to those 2 guys, and all three of them are hitting over 300. And like I mentioned prior, the 2 bats for the Padres I'd play are Machado and Hosmer, and I'd stay away from everyone else DFS wise. Maybe a Voit hit total or prop. But yeah, on this game though, I'm kind of feeling Phillies. I like them just in the matchup here. And it's sort of, I'm not comfortable with Yu Darvish almost ever just because of the way he finished last season. I mean, I know he's had some good starts lately, but he's still sitting there with that 4.62 ERA from the beginning of the season where he got blown up. So yeah, I'm going to take the Phillies -120 here in the over 9.
Yeah, I like that as well. Darvish, 3-1, which is okay, but the ERA is 4.62. He's just given up a lot of hits, really. 22 hits in his last 3 starts, in fact. So, yeah, I'm always a bit unsure about him. He seems a little bit wobbly to me. Gibson had a bad start last time out at the Dodgers. Well, that's fair enough. The Dodgers could get to anyone just about. His 2 starts before that against the Mets were a lot better, and he's got a 1.93 home ERA. So I just thought the Phillies at -120 looked a really good price. So I was happy to take them on the money line. Dylan, what did you make of this San Diego Philly game?
Yeah, actually, we'll have a showdown, me and Noah, because I like the under in this one. The Padres, they're an under team, especially on the road, 12-7 towards the under. The first game last night, it went under 3-0 victory for the Pods. And Kyle Gibson, like you mentioned, Malcolm, he's been lights out at home, 1.93 ERA, and batters are only hitting a 1.70 off him. So I think with Darvish, I think he'll give a few runs, but nothing too crazy, maybe 3-4 runs. But Citizens Bank Park, friendly, pitcher-friendly ballpark. So I'll take a shot at the under.
Okay, so the under there for Dylan. The next game is a 1:10 Eastern first pitch, which is the St. Louis Cardinals at the New York Mets. Dakota Hudson goes for St. Louis, and Chris Bassitt goes for New York. The Cardinals are a +120 underdog. The Mets are a 140 favorite. The over-under is set at 7.5. And Dylan, you can lead us off with your New York Mets. You keep getting the Mets to handicap your team, so let's hope you're a good luck omen for them again. What have you got?
Yeah, I'm going to keep backing them. I like Bassitt on the mound. His last start at home was good. He only gave up 1 run against the Mariners. He did throw a little too many pitches up in the 100 range for my liking, but we got the win. But I want to pick on Dakota Hudson for a little. He's not the same pitcher on the road than he is at home. He's given up a lot of hard contact, 9 runs, and he has more walks than strikeouts. I think if he's going to be able, or if he's going to walk some batters for the Mets, it's going to lead to more trouble. So I think this is a bad spot for him. Give me the Mets here to win another series.
Noah, what did you make of this one?
Yeah, so I'm seeing a slumping Mets offense here. And the Cardinals with the dog, with an offense that should be pretty good this year, and they have been hitting well over the last week here. I'm going to take Cardinals plus 120 in the matchup, and the over 7.5 kind of seems low to me. Just looking at it, I don't have a ton of PVB with Dakota Hudson or Chris Bassitt. Actually, both first basemen are the only two guys that have PVB. Albert Pujols batting .417 off of Bassitt, 5-for-12 with 3 singles, a double, and a pool party. And Pete Alonso batting .400, 2-for-5 with a single and a polar bear Pete blast. So the Mets in the last week, Brandon Nimmo's batting .370 and Luis Guillorme is batting .364. The rest of the team's under .300, whereas Albert Pujols, Goldschmidt, Brendan Donovan, and Andrew Knizer, the catcher, they're all hitting over .400. Yep. So I really like the offense and the way that the Cardinals are playing right now. So I'll take the dog. I'll be happy with that price.
This was a tricky game. This Hudson had his best start last time out against San Francisco. Gave up no earned runs over 5 innings pitched. He hasn't been striking many out. And he's not been as good on the road. Bassett's been incredibly consistent. You get a similar stat line from him just about every start. Really close game here. I do lean the Mets, but minus 140 is a bit skinny. Both games in the doubleheader went under yesterday. No, I said the Mets offense is faltering a little bit. So for me, the under 7.5 seemed like a reasonable play. If you want any of these lines, WinBet is the place to get them. That's where we're fetching them from here this afternoon on the MLB Gambling Podcast. Take advantage of the Bet 50 to win $200 promotion. A $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WinBet Casino is offering a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And you can win a golf trip to win Las Vegas for the PGA Championship. If you bet $100 or more on the golf this week, you'll be entered in to win that golf trip to the Win Las Vegas. The promotion ends on May the 22nd. So you've got a few days, 2022. Loads to choose from. All you have to do is download the WinBet app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I'm looking forward to the golf this weekend. I put my little few bets on today. Cameron Smith is the answer, if anyone's looking for that and you haven't listened to the Golf Gambling Podcast.
But my Cam region Smith of it too.
Is. Yeah. Oh, excellent.
Great.
I like Scheffler.
So we've got 2 Cam Smiths and a Scheffler here. I back Kevin Knott 200-1 as well. I don't mind backing him. He's just such a horrible watch. But it makes it a little bit easier when you've got some money on him. So, Kevin Knott was my crazy price. But, Cam Smith's a big one. Next up is the 2:10 Eastern first pitch, which is the Chicago White Sox at the Kansas City Royals. This is a pitching matchup to conjure with. Vince Velasquez goes for the White Sox. And Carlos Hernandez goes for the Kansas City Royals. The lines are the White Sox minus 140, Kansas City plus 120. The over-under is set at 9.5. Velasquez 2-3 with an ERA of 5.53. Pitched 27 2/3, struck out 25. Hernandez is 0-3. With an ERA of 9.11 in 26 innings with a whip of 2.03. Actually, Velasquez was going okay before the Yankees beat him up last time. He hadn't been terrible, although
we kind of were waiting for him to blow up. I think we'd handicapped him expecting the blow up at any point. So it eventually came. But it was the Yankees. So you could be prepared to give him a chance, to give him a life. Hernandez, his last two starts have been absolute disasters. He gave up 15 earned runs in those two starts at Colorado, at Baltimore. He hasn't been much better at home either. Kansas City have got a poor home record. I didn't like the minus 140, but I thought the White Sox should score enough runs to cover the run line. So minus 1.5 runs is at plus 120. So a nice price as well, a nice plus price there. I'll take the White Sox on the run line. Dylan, what did you make of the White Sox at the Royals in this stellar pitching matchup?
Yeah, I hate doing this, but I'll probably have no action on this one. I did make the White Sox, a minus 130 favorite. So we're about 10 cents from either side. I did make my total 8.6, so maybe a slight lean toward the under. These two teams have played several games this season. They've all gone under the number, besides one, and the final score was 7-3, so it got there by the hook. But let's look at the White Sox last five games. All five games have gone under. Velasquez, he had a nice outing his last time on the road, gave up one run in five innings. With Hernandez, he's been having a rough couple games his last starts against very good teams, against a good lineup like the Yankees, four innings, two runs. He has to keep the walks down, but as we know, the White Sox don't really walk a lot. So I think we see a relatively low-scoring game. I'll dive under 9.5.
Wow. So the ERA is at 5.53 and 9.11. And Dylan's going for the low scoring game. Noah, can you split this tie? Because I think this could finish about 32-21. Who are you taking?
Yeah, I absolutely can't back Hernandez here. So I'd be forced to the White Sox side, but minus 140 is a little bit rich. It is a marathon, not a sprint. So if you want to play that, go ahead. The run line, the way the White Sox have been playing lately, seems a little risky as well, but plus 120,
yeah,
go for it. I mean, the only Royals bat that has had some success against Velasquez, and Velasquez has been in the division for a year or two now, is Carlos Santana, who's batting 625, 5-for-8 with four singles and a double off of him. And for the White Sox, we have Jose Abreu, who's batting 333, 2-for-6 with a single and Abreu bomb. And Lurie Garcia is batting 333, 2-for-6 with two singles. And also Gavin Sheets, who's batting 286, 2-for-7 with two singles. Over the last week for the two teams, Whit Merrifield is absolutely raking right now. He's heating up, batting 382. He started off the year with a really bad slump, and I still don't even know if he's past the 250 watermark on the season yet, but we also have Hunter Dozier, who's batting 310. I forgot to add that Merrifield has two bombs in his last eight games. Michael Taylor also hitting 308 in his last seven games. For the White Sox, we have Luis Robert, who's batting 333 over his past seven games. He also has a bomb and 13 total bases. And A.J. Pollock, who's batting 316 with eight total bases himself in his last six games that he's played coming off of injury. So, yeah, for me, it's just – if you're going to play something, it would be the White Sox run line. And if I could split the tie on the over-under, I'm going to go under. I feel like a lot of people – I feel like that 9.5 seems really high for these two teams right now. Both teams just don't seem to be excelling on the offensive side of the ball. So,
yeah, that's fair enough. It was really tricky. You can't expect the White Sox to do it all themselves, and you get the feeling – they might have to, especially if Velasquez can get back to that form that he displayed before the Yankees game last time out. The next game up is a 7:10 Eastern first pitch between the Seattle Mariners and the Boston Red Sox. George Kirby, is it George? Yeah, it is. Yeah,
George Kirby.
Goes for the Seattle. Yeah, for the Seattle Mariners. And Rich Hill is on the mound for Boston. Now, these last three games, we did have TBD pitchers right up until about 10 or 15 minutes ago, certainly for the last two. And I've got no odds. So what we'll do here, as we normally do, is use Dylan, who is our expert at putting these lines up. Kirby is, he has no record as yet. He started two games, pitched 10 innings, ERA of 0.9. Seattle Mariners top pitching prospect, George Kirby. Outstanding start for him so far this season. At the other end of his career, Rich Hill, 1-1 2.89 ERA, 6 games started, 28 innings pitched, 21 Ks, and a 1.11 whip, which is decent. Dylan, as far as lines, money lines and totals, you're the stat man here. What did you think we might see and how might we handicap this game?
Yeah, so like you said, Malcolm, no lines as of right now, but I'd imagine the Red Sox open up a favorite. I made them a minus 135 favorite, so reverse, I would need them plus 135 to be on the Mariners. I did make my total 8.6, but I probably would see myself on the Red Sox. Rich Hill last time at home pitched 5 scoreless innings against a very good Angel lineup. But we know what we're going to get out of him. He'll probably only go 4 or 5 innings, but I think he'll be able to go toe-to-toe with Kirby. He's only making his third MLB start in his career, so I still want to gather more data about on him before I back him. So I just know what I'm going to get out of Rich Hill, and I do think they are the better team right now. So like I said, minus 135 is my buying point on the Red Sox. Anything over that, I'll probably be on the Mariners.
Okay, I love that. That's beautifully worked out, man. Thank you. I thought this had the look of a bit of a pitching duel about it. Rich Hill got his first win last time out of Texas, but he's been good all year. No issues at all. Like I say, 2 great starts from Kirby at the Mets and against Tampa Bay as well. He was sharp a first time out, as it happens. Wasn't as good last time against Tampa Bay, but was serviceable. So, yeah, pitcher's going well. Possibly an under, but again, without that total, nothing much to add to that one. And Noah, how did you get to this? Do you know much about George Kirby?
Yeah, I know a little bit about George Kirby. He's on my fantasy team. Also, who's on my fantasy team is Spencer Torkelson, who just hit a bomb, and he's on my damn bench. He's hitting like 200 on the year. And just deposited one over. Deposited one over the orange juice box field, but yeah, whatever. George Kirby is also on my team. Just wicked filthy. Just a lot of action on his pitches, and just no ball straight. I'll just say that. Obviously, there's not going to be PVB against him. It's his third MLB start. But Steven Souza Jr. is batting .455 off of Dick Mountain, 5-for-11 with 4 singles and a double. And Eugenio Suarez batting .444 off of him. He's 4-for-9 with 2 singles and 2 home runs over the past week. In their last 6 games, Julio Rodriguez is heating up. He's batting .318 with a couple of RBIs and 10 total bases. Kid just steals bags, so he's always a nice DFS play to get you a steal. Maybe even bet a prop on a steal. I don't typically do it, but this kid, he has quite a few on the year. How many actually on the year? Let me look at this. He's got 11 bags on the year. Pretty nice from him in 36 games. So he's stealing almost a bag every 3 games. That's pretty dang good. And then go back. And Jesse Winker is batting .333 in his last 6 games with a home run and 13 total bases. So those are the guys for the Mariners. As for the Red Sox, JD Martinez is batting .500 in his last 6 games with 2 jumbo dongs. And also Rafael Devers is heating up, batting .423 with 2 home runs as well. Both guys have 5 RBIs and plus 20 total bases in a little over 20 at bats. So they're getting a base in at bat. And those are 2 really hot bats that I'd look for in this matchup. I'd be taking the Mariners and the under here.
Okay. The next game is another one with bits and bobs of it up in the air. It's a 7:40 Eastern first pitch, which is the D-backs at the Cubs. Zach Gallen is going for the Diamondbacks. I've got Kyle Hendricks going for the Chicago Cubs. You boys can correct me if you see anything different. Again, we'll hand this over to Dylan to see what lines you might have drawn up for this one.
Yeah, so I actually have Zach Gallen going for the D-backs, and I have Marcus Stroman going for the Cubs.
Okay.
So this is my lines for this pitching matchup. I made the Cubs a minus 130 favorite, the D-backs a plus 130. I made my total 9.1. But depending if we could get anything above a plus 130, I'd be willing to take a shot with the D-backs. I feel like I've been taking them every day now. I feel like just Zach Gallen is just better than Marcus Stroman, especially the way Stroman has pitched at home at Wrigley Field. He's given up a lot of hard contacts. Walks are high. But I don't know if I'd want to take the Snakes because they've lost five in a row. The Cubs, they've won four straight. So depending on the price that opens up, like I said, if the Cubs open up in minus 130 or lower favorite, I'll be on them. But plus 130 or better, I'd be on the D-backs. And like I said, I set my total at 9.1. We have 13-mile-an-hour winds blowing to left field. So just be cautious about that.
I've got nothing for this game at all. I didn't have much, and that was with Hendrick. So I've got even less with Stroman up there. Noah, did you have anything for this? Gallen against Stroman?
You know how I feel about Hendricks, and Stroman hasn't been much better this year as well. So I don't know. I don't know what's up with the fantasy side of things for me. For the season-long stuff, DFS have been quite good. But, Wilson Contreras, the only one with PVB in this matchup. He's batting 400, 2-for-5 with two singles off of Gallen. But looking the way that Gallen's been pitching so far this year, I don't think I'll get the courage to back the Cubs here. He's 2-0 on the year with a 105 ERA and 35 Ks. In the last week for the Diamondbacks, how can you not love Alec Thomas? And that's a guy that, of course, Malcolm picked up, and he hits a bomb for him as well. He's got two home runs in the last week. Christian Walker absolutely stroking the ball right now with three bombs. Both of those guys are batting 333. And then Ketel Marte, he's questionable with a hand injury. And of course, he's on my fantasy team. He's batting 333 with 10 total bases in his last six games. For the Cubs, on the other hand, we have Frank Schwindel is batting 333 in his last six games. He's got 10 total bases and four RBIs, but that's the only bet that seems to be going right now for the Cubs. So Diamondbacks should be fancy in this game, and I'll be on them.
Christian Walker was a real standout BABIP casualty from over the start of the season. It was only a matter of time before he started getting something to drop in, and it's just started coming together for him. So I'm pleased about that. I've got him in a few best balls and things like that. But he was carrying no luck at all, and that seems to have turned around a little bit for Christian Walker.
He
does hit it really hard.
I want to look up his percentiles while you're talking.
Was just sitting there on waivers the other day. In fact, I was recording. I live picked him up from waivers yesterday when we were recording. I said to the boys, because he hit a home run as we were recording on Monday, I think. So while Dylan was handicapping the game, I quickly shot over to Yahoo and I picked him up and he hit another one the night after. So yeah, I'm a very shrewd man, it turns out. Noah, who knew? The final game is, unfortunately, got another TBD pitcher, which is the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros. It's at 8:10 Eastern first pitch. I have got Glenn Otto going for the Texas Rangers and Framber Valdez going for Houston. Dylan, agree, disagree, and what have you got for this game?
Yeah, those are the two pitchers I got, Glenn Otto and Framber Valdez. I made the Astros a minus 135 favorite. Reverse Rangers plus 135. I set my total at an 8.2. So I do think they should be the favorite, the Astros, when it opens up. And hopefully we get a good price on Valdez. He's been great on the road, and he's already faced his Ranger team. But the problem there was the last time they versed each other, the Astros weren't the hitting team they are now. This is a much different team, 8-2 in their last 10. They're scoring a boatload of runs. Glenn Otto, he's only making his fifth start, and he's already faced this Astro team four innings. He only gave up two runs. Not off to a bad start, but I think with the Astros being home, Valdez on the bump, I think they win this game. I don't know about the run line. I would need anywhere. I would need a plus price to be on the Astros on the run line. But if it's Astros minus 135 or better, I'll be on them on the money line.
Noah, did you have anything for this Texas-Houston game?
Yeah, I actually like the Rangers side of this. They hit very well against Valdez. Corey Seager's batting .667, 4-for-6 with 3 singles and a triple. Also in this matchup, Yordan Alvarez, he's batting .500 against Otto, 3-for-6 with a single and 2 doubles. Marcus Semien batting .333, 3-for-9 with 2 singles and a long shot. Cole Calhoun batting .300, 3-for-10 with 3 singles. Nick Solak batting .273, 3-for-11 with 3 singles. And Adelis Garcia batted 2-for-8 with a single and an El Bombi. And of course, he's heating up right now. He's batting 340 in his last 3 games with 2 home runs. Charlie Culberson batting .500 in his last 3 games. Sam Huff, a platoon catcher for them, batting .467. And Cole Calhoun just really hot, batting .450. He's got 3 home runs, 8 RBIs, 21 total bases in his last 6 games for the Rangers. As for the Astros, they're dealing with a few injuries with Pena. They traded for Mauricio Dubon, and he's hitting .400 for him in Pena's replacement. Yuli Gurriel's batting .440 with 3 home runs and 22 total bases. So he's a nice bat to play right now. Michael Brantley and Jose Siri and Yordan also all batting over .300. In this game, I'd be looking at the Rangers, though. I really expect them to be a nice price.
Yeah, Houston, I watched flexing their muscles last night. I think they hit, was it for 6 home runs, maybe? They took Nathan Eovaldi for 7 runs in that second inning last night. Cole Calhoun, you mentioned, did get a home run last night, and it looked like he sort of skewed it off the end of his bat, almost like a pool shot, effortless, and it just carried on flying. So maybe we're getting the juice balls back, because that looked like a classic rabbit ball home run from 2 seasons ago, Cole Calhoun's. That was the most rabbit ball home run I've seen so far this season.
Yeah,
you know, I haven't got much to add to.
Who's that?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but someone who has, we have the same amount of home runs as him, Marcus Semien. He has 0 home runs. I think he's been the biggest bust so far.
Hey, Malcolm, I'll also add this. Christian Walker is 6th in the league in barrel percentage.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah, so get Christian Walker in some of your lineups. He might still be on waivers there in our fantasy league. No, you could do with the help. Go and have a look.
90. I've got nothing much to add for hard hit percentage too. So, yeah, he's stroking it.
I didn't have any line, so nothing much to add to that one, unfortunately. But yeah, I have enjoyed watching Houston flex their muscles over the last few nights. Yordan Alvarez, particularly, hits the ball a frighteningly long way. He's great to watch. Before we get to our lock and dog, because that is the last game, like we see, only a 7 game slate, or seven games. So pretty brief tonight, but we do our lock and dogs after I've told you about Sleeper, which is the fastest growing fantasy platform today. I assume you've got your fantasy league on there. I've got loads of mine on there, but they've added a new over or under game, really easy to play, where you can make money. If you choose your sport and a couple of players that you like, the over under points in basketball, hits in baseball, etc. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 to 20 times your stake. The chat feature is loads of fun. You can get in there, you can have some banter with your friends, talk a bit of smack to them. You can copy your friends' picks with the click of a button. Loads of fun to ride out those sweats together. So if you download Sleeper now, play the over-under game. If you go to sleeper.com/SGPMLB, Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. So join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGPMLB. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Okay, lock and dog. And we've been doubling up a lot recently, and we're going to probably double up tonight with only 7 games to choose from. Therefore, purely selfishly, I'm going to go first. I'm going to get in with my lock, the Philadelphia Phillies at -120. Don't trust you, Darvish. I think Noah said exactly everything I was thinking about Darvish. I'm talking through my pocket a little bit because I've had him on every fantasy team last year. And I found him a difficult watch. So And the amount of hits he's given up in those last three starts was quite startling. And I like Gibson a lot. I think minus 20 is a perfectly reasonable place. And for my dog, I've done it the rest of the week. I'm going to take Baltimore. I've got a live dog going on them tonight. And then this game tomorrow, I will take Baltimore. The home record is okay. Even home record. And in four games started, Zimmerman's ERA is 1.8 as well. So I'll take Baltimore plus 170 on the money line. Noah, what have you got?
I'm currently looking. I don't think it's going to be out. But my lock is going to be, I'm going to hawk it like crazy. I'm going to take the team total on the White Sox. Like we mentioned, I don't think they're going to get much help on the overall total for the game from the Royals, but I absolutely cannot get on Carlos Hernandez's side with a 9.11 ERA. Holy Lord, that's a bad number too. Sorry I mentioned you mentioned it, but I mean, White Sox team total there. And for my dog, I have to go with Malcolm here. I'm going to take the Orioles against the Yankees. I really
yes. Like okay, love that. Double bubble, Dylan. Are you going to make it a clean sweep of Baltimore Orioles underdogs?
No, I can't do that. I'm sorry. For my lock, I'm going to go to my team. I'm going to take the Mets. I'll take them actually first five money line, or if you want to take them, depending on some books, you could get a first five result, get a better number on it. But I like the Mets here with Bassett on the mound. I think at home, I think he shuts out the Cardinals, at least for the first time around. So I'll take the Mets first five money line for my lock. And for my dog, I was going to take the Padres, to be honest. But I didn't want to have a showdown with you, Malcolm. So like you, I'm going to take the team I've taken all day. I'm going to take the Snakes. I think if we get a good price on Gallen, I think he could outduel Stroman. If their bats pick up a little bit, I think the wind will help us carry some balls out. It's going to be a nice day in Chicago. Let's take the Snakes. Let's get them a win.
I want this on record. I like that Diamondbacks pick up more than the Orioles if they're opening up as dogs. Just I don't know what their odds are going to be, so I didn't give it up.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Okay, so yeah, we fancy some underdogs tomorrow. Some nice price ones, so yeah, why not? Yeah, cheers, boys. That was relatively short and sweet tonight. A little bit of a truncated slate for us. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I will be doing my Preakness stuff tomorrow, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Noah, any college stuff going on for you this week?
Sorry, I put myself on mute. No, but I am celebrating a three-year anniversary of a kid just hitting the longest ball that I've ever given up in my life. He had the bases loaded and he went Division I for college baseball, but he gave up, or he hit this thing onto the school's roof. And here, I'll just play the sound of it and I'll post it on Twitter for everybody. That was the sound of contact, and I'll tweet that out. But yeah, I gave up a grand slam 3 years ago today. So yeah, a pretty good anniversary.
I'll drink to that, mate. I'll open a little Coors Light to that, and I'll celebrate that one with you, Dylan. What's happening tonight? Why are you sitting in your car still? What are you doing?
I gotta get back on the road, boys. I gotta go to dinner. I gotta celebrate an anniversary as well, not of one of a ball that's still probably traveling. So, I gotta get back on the road. I got a dinner to get to in Jersey, hopefully. I don't miss, or I miss some of this traffic. So I got to hit the road, boys. But hopefully the Braves can collapse a little bit and Milwaukee can come back on Munoz.
Yeah, fair enough. Right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. As usual, we'll be back with the rest of the MLB week to come. So appreciate everyone's support and we will see you down the road. Cheers.